GM, a major proxy battle happening at GM, which is going to culminate tomorrow at the GM's annual shareholders meeting. Eric Gordon is with us, professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Eric, it is great to have you on WILS.
Hello, Michael.
Hey, I'm curious, the proxy battle, what does that mean? I've heard that term a lot.
Yeah, proxy battle is, it's just a voting battle. You know, in corporations, the shareholders get to vote for this or against that. Most of them don't go to the meeting and vote in person. They vote either online or those little cards, like postcards that you get. Mm-hmm. If you don't vote in person, you vote by proxy. It's just a legal way of allowing you to vote without being there in person. So a proxy battle is a battle to get shareholders to vote this way or that way.
And there are two visions, one outlined by this activist investor, David Einhorn, and the other is the GM, the company, and its executives. What's David Einhorn? What's he all about? What is he wanting to do here?
So he doesn't really want to change the way the company operates. Interestingly, instead of saying, hey, the company stinks, and Mary Barra, the CEO, doesn't know what she's doing, he says, well, you know, she's pretty much doing a good job. We agree with what GM is doing, but its financial structure is not great. And in fact, its financial structure is making the price of the stock be lower than it could be if we change the financial structure. So, you know, Einhorn is a, you know, he's a finance guy. He's not an operating guy. What he's saying is, you know, vote for some directors, three directors that are sort of my people, and we're going to change the financial structure of GM, and that's going to make the stock price go up.
What's his history with playing around with the financial structure?
Well, he's a well-known activist investor. He's pretty good. I mean, he sort of famously went after Apple and said, hey, Apple, you're sitting on half the world's cash. Why don't you give some of it back to the stockholders? He lost the battle with Apple, but not entirely. He lost the battle, but Apple decided to give some stock back, some cash back to the stockholders. You know, that might, Michael, that might happen here. He might lose the battle tomorrow with GM, but not totally lose it. They might do something halfway along the lines to get the stock price up.
Eric Gordon with us, professor at the University of Michigan, Ross School of Business, right here on WILS. Is he right the way the company's structured is somehow keeping the stock price depressed?
Yeah, well, you know, opinions will differ, but he hasn't convinced me, but more importantly, since I don't own any stock, I don't think he's convinced the big mutual funds and the other big institutions that hold lots of the stock. I don't think he's convinced them that the financial structure is bad and that his changes are going to make the stock price go up.
He wants to split this into, what, two stocks? Is that correct?
Yeah. So now there's sort of one, you know, sort of plain common stock like most corporations have. He says, look, let's split that, not the company. Let's just split the stock into two types of stock. One stock is going to pay a hopefully steady dividend, but it doesn't have any upside if the value of GM goes up. It's going to be more like a bond. It's going to just throw off a steady dividend. The other type of stock will be the growth side, if there is any growth, the growth side of GM.
Okay, so I guess I'm wondering, I mean, is he right? If he did this, if he made this move, would we suddenly see the growth GM stock just explode somehow?
You know, nobody knows, but this is not a time where people are looking for growth in any of the car companies. You know, we're probably going into a down cycle for the car companies. Mm-hmm. We're going into a cycle where the car companies are going to have to spend doubly. So they always have to spend, if they want to do well, they always have to spend on you know, refreshing the product line. The product line gets old, you get into the problem Chrysler had where, you know, nobody wanted the cars because the cars were all 12 years old in their design. Mm. Car companies have to spend a lot of cash to do that. You know, we know that in Lansing, we know that down here where I am in Southeast Michigan.
So is he not acknowledging that in his analysis of the company, or?
Yeah, he's smart, so he says that, but he says, you see, you have more than enough cash to do that. You know, but think about this, Michael. On top of the usual money that car companies have to spend, they're going to have to spend a real pile of money getting their cars ready to be communicating cars and eventually, you know, autonomous cars. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the car companies are going into an investment cycle, but also probably a down sales cycle. Einhorn doesn't ignore that. He's a very, very smart guy. But he just says, he says, well, hey, look, opinions will differ. We think you have more than enough cash to cover everything and do this stock split.
Yeah, because he says the company has a $50 billion market cap and has $20 billion of cash plus available credit. Is that a conservative, I guess, position for a company to have then?
You know, it's certainly not an adventurous position, but the question facing the stockholders is, do you want GM to be a company that's adventuresome on the finance side or conservative on the finance side and adventuresome on the product side?
Interesting. What's the, if this goes through, first of all, do you think his plan will actually be approved by shareholders?
No, I think it's a long shot. And if you look at what he's been saying, you know, kind of the releases he's had, what he said Friday on television, he was interviewed on Bloomberg Television. He's sort of saying things like, well, you know, actually our plan for these two types, splitting the stock into two types of stocks, oh, that's only one thing. If you elect my directors, we're also going to come up with some other ideas. Hasn't said what those ideas are, but you get some sense that he understands that his plan hasn't really gotten a lot of people excited.
And his firm is called Greenlight, his hedge fund. He owns 52 million shares, 3.6% of GM stock. What is he going to do if this doesn't work out for him?
You know, I think he's going to keep the stock. He's been in the stock for a long time. He's been in the stock, you know, since you know, from the bankruptcy. So he's actually, interestingly, he is, unlike a lot of these activist hedge fund guys, he actually is a long-term investor. He didn't just buy it to attack the company. My guess is he'll stay in because he will still kind of be pushing for something, some kind of financial engineering to make things better. But he actually does like the company. He thinks it's a pretty good company, and he thinks it's a pretty well-run company. So he isn't a hit-and-run guy. He's an actual investor.
Yeah, because it's been more than 6 years since the initial public offering. It's just slightly above that $33 share mark that it was at that point. Well, I mean, is he right? Is there a stagnancy there to the stock that doesn't make sense, that the company really should be doing better?
Yeah, I don't know if the company should be doing better or the stock should be doing better, but yeah, the stock has gone nowhere, even though the S&P has gone up and, you know, some of the other car companies have gone up. You know, so much so that some of the big stock brokerage companies that follow them say, hey, you know, it's a bargain, buy the stock. Mm-hmm. So
do you think other shareholders, the big ones, are also frustrated like he is?
Yeah, I think they are frustrated, but I'm not sure they think that his solution is the solution. So, you know, if you show up with a proposal for change, you have to convince people that a change would be good. I think a lot of the big shareholders think, yeah, let's get this stock moving. But you have to also say, and look, my change will do it. And I think it's in the my change will do it that he has not been entirely persuasive.
Yeah. But the idea is what? I mean, in terms of actually, because I think the idea is you see Tesla and, you know, their stock is what, over $300 now. And what would it take if you were to really try to get GM going with a second stock, the growth stock? What kinds of steps would happen within the company to do that?
Well, you can't compare it to Tesla because Tesla's insane. In fact, Einhorn even says Tesla's insane. He's short. He's betting against Tesla. He thinks Tesla's nuts.
In terms of if GM really does want to, I guess, rev the engine on the stock itself. What kinds of steps would the company really take for that?
Yeah, I think GM, you got to move sales and profits. Mary Barr has done a good job with profits. She has said, you know, profits are important. You know, that strikes you and me as being duh. But in fact, at GM, you know, under a lot of CEOs, has been all about the vanity of volume. I think they've got to move profits and sales, right, to get people to see that GM is going to have a great future, not just an okay future.
Well, we saw Ford CEO, he got let go basically because Ford stock wasn't doing anything. Well, why do you think we're seeing a different reaction out of GM, the company, when it comes to Mary Barra?
Well, I think basically because Einhorn's been in the stock for a long time, and to some extent, it could be because Einhorn and some others see GM as a company with more potential, which makes it even more frustrating if the stock doesn't reflect that potential.
It's Eric Gordon, professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business, and now the vote culminates tomorrow. So, are we going to hear a final announcement tomorrow?
Yeah, I think we'll hear an announcement. You know, a lot of the proxies have been sent in, have been done, you know, over the net, and have already been counted. So, you know, they'll be counting votes live at the meeting. You know, people who show up for the meeting and vote live, they'll be counting those. But people have been behind the scenes, you know, been sort of following how they think the voting is going. It won't be a big surprise. Both Einhorn and GM have been on the phone talking to the big institutional investors in GM probably every day for the last 30 or 60 days. So I don't think anybody's going to have a big surprise.
This has got to, the conversations would be fascinating to hear how that kind of works out on the phone. You know?
Yeah, well, you'd love to be the fly in the wall and hear them making their pitches. Mm. Although, you know, from the public filings that I've read and that I think you've read also, you get an idea of what they've been saying.
Mm. Eric Gordon again, University of Michigan professor Eric Gordon, right here on WILS. Thank you, Eric.
My pleasure, Michael.